Philippians 2, that chunk of scripture is a hymn. Like, it is an early Christian hymn. Like, that's just awesome. That even the humility of Christ isn't just meant to be read, it's meant to be sung. It doesn't just lead to our worship. It's written in scripture as worship.
Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Ian Crosby, and you are listening to Beyond the Message. Ian, good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being here this morning.
Absolutely.
Hey, we are in the middle of our Advent series. Ian, you did a great job yesterday opening up the Word. We are in Philippians 2, 3 through 11. And before we talk about your message, which it was funny right before this, I'm like, do you have any questions or anybody have anything? It's like, no, we had baptism. So everyone is just—
That rightfully like, overshadows gonna, some which, of those
which
stuff.
Which is super sweet. So maybe we'll get some Beyond the Message questions that come in later this week. But also just super thankful that we get to, we were saying that there's like, you know, we preach and it's like, it's super sweet when it's like just such a seamless tie-in to like a gospel connection, which obviously is a tie-in to baptism. And so it's not like we're taking a hard right turn of like we're preaching and now we're like
doing
something totally different.
It's really sweet. Like baptism is such a sweet display of the humility. Like I think I mentioned it yesterday. It's declaring the humility of Christ, but also displaying our own humility in our own bowing of our knee and our declaring with our mouth. So yeah, it was a sweet way to be able to walk into baptisms.
Yeah, that was sweet. I love that, man. So yeah, Ian, yesterday, so as always here on the, or not yesterday, this morning, in light of yesterday, here on this podcast, we're
doing
like
great.
Time traveling. It's always first question, if you were to include something else from your message or expand, or if you had like a part two, what would that be?
Yeah, there's a few different things that we could riff on here a little bit, but I think we'll get to those a little bit later in the podcast. But one of the things that came up like right away for me in study that I thought was just a really interesting question is this question of like, is God humble? And I think you hear that and you're like, yes. And that's our first answer. But when we're looking at this series of the character of God and the coming of Christ, and we see the humility displayed in Christ's incarnation, what does that show us about the character of God? Like, is God actually humble? And I think when we look at humility from our own worldly definition, which a lot of people would say it's putting others before yourself, it's like even self-forgetfulness, like it's forgetting about yourself or thinking of yourself less. When you think about humility in a human definition, that's not God. That's not the character of God. Yeah. God does not think less about himself. Like he is always thinking
that would
about
be bad.
His glory.
That would be bad for us.
Yes. Right. And so when you think about it from a worldly perspective, like the nature of God isn't to consider others as better than himself. Yeah. The character of God isn't to think less of himself. The character of God, he always acts for his own glory and he always acts for his own namesake. Mm-hmm. Like that always happens.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it from that perspective, you're like, Is God actually humble? But so that's kind of why we did some of the reworking, some of the reframing of what is real Christian humility, not just how does the world see humility, but what is Christian humility? And when you see Christian humility as just a preoccupation with God's glory, you're like, okay, God's that for sure.
Right.
Like God is always preoccupied with his own glory. And he's preoccupied with his own glory in a way that leads to the good of others. Absolutely. And so I think that's kind of – that's some of the – acrobats we did to kind of get to the humility of God displayed in Christ is it's a preoccupation with God's glory for the good of others.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of that was what my brain, I spent solid like week having conversations with people. I'm like, can I ask you a question? Is God humble? And they just look at me and I was like, yeah. And I'm like, no, but let's actually think about it for a second. So
that's
my wife
sweet.
Was very tired of hearing about that conversation.
Oh, Morgan, God bless your soul.
We're at family Thanksgiving, and I just asked, I was like, hey, is God humble? And she's like, Ian, stop.
That's great. I love that. You're just doing recon family.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure, I'm just trying to get a gauge from like people. Hey, what do you think?
Yeah. No, that's sweet. Which, I mean, that like when we sat down and you said that was my initial reaction is like, well, yeah, like we literally spent 40 minutes yesterday talking about that, but very clearly like making sure that we're defining terms and not just assuming one thing or the other. Because if God was humble
in the human sense,
like in the way that we think about it, where it's like having this less like over focus on mm-hmm. others, it's like that's actually not good for us.
Yeah.
Like if God in a different way than like in the incarnation didn't count himself, like didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but just was like, nah, I'm just not going to be divine. Like yeah. I'm just not going to be God right now. Like I'm going to do what the humans need yeah. for me. Like it's like, ooh, that'd be wild.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was kind of an insight into my brain as I was trying to consider this message and where we're going with it.
Yeah,
so
that's sweet. Well, hey, let's talk about that. So why do we often admire the humility of Christ that we see in Scripture, especially now, like, I mean, in the incarnation, yep. in Advent time, as we're talking through, like even like the mercy ministry that we see displayed through Christ preaching and just the way that he set an example as he was here doing his earthly ministry. So why do we often admire that kind of humility in Jesus, but resist it in our own lives, especially when like obedience costs us comfort or control?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it can stem down to kind of the initial question I posed yesterday was, we all understand humility to be a good thing, but we don't always want it. And I think we just have a yeah. wrong view of humility, and we have a wrong understanding of what humility leads to. Mm. I think sometimes we just get thought like trapped in the thought of like humility leads to other people's good, but not my own. Mm. And that's kind of where we stop with it, where humility actually is the best thing for us.
Yeah.
Like when you look at the text in Philippians that we looked at, Christ's humility was ultimately the best thing for him. Mm-hmm. Like it led to his obedience, it led to his death, yes, but it also led to his exaltation
yeah.
and it led to his glory. Mm-hmm. And that's true of Christ, and it's true for us in a similar sense, just obviously not to the extent of Christ. Mm-hmm. But we see in James that humble yourself in Christ and God will exalt you. Yeah. Like, so we see that there is an exaltation that comes with our humility. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it's not in this physical world. It's not like you're going to be exalted and made king of this world, but it's you're going to be raised with Christ. We see in Colossians 3 that yep. if you have died, you will be raised with Christ. Yep. When Christ is who is your life appears, you also will appear with him in glory. And mm-hmm. so there is an exaltation that comes from our humility. Mm-hmm. And even Christ's humility leads to our riches and our good. I mentioned the reference near the end of the sermon yesterday, but 2 Corinthians, I forget where, 2 Corinthians 8,
yeah.
it talks about that for our sake that Christ, who was rich, made himself poor so that mm-hmm. in his poverty, we might become rich. And yeah. so even the humility of Christ leads to our riches. And
yeah.
so there is a great benefit, a great yeah. good
right.
of humility for us. And so we need to stop seeing humility as just other people's good and my bad. Mm-hmm. It's other people's good and your good.
Yeah.
Ultimately, because it's not about you or the other person. It's ultimately about God being glorified, which is good for all people.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, that's what Paul really does it all throughout 2 Corinthians. There's like a specific tie between 2 Corinthians 8 there, where it's the exchange of poverty and riches, mm-hmm. which is clearly like a connection to also to 2 Corinthians 5, where it's the like Christ took on
yep.
your sinfulness and gives you his righteousness.
Yep.
But those things aren't disconnected from an identity shift where it's like, you aren't about you, you're about me, you're my ambassadors. Mm-hmm. So like, go implore others to be reconciled to me. And it's, you can do this because there's been an exchange. You've been transferred from being dead in your trespasses and sins to being alive with Christ, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And so mm-hmm. just like, I love the way that kind of all throughout Paul's letters, there's a lot of times where there's like just very clear contrast. I mean, not just yeah. Paul, but like we see it all throughout Scripture.
Yeah, and
like
I mean,
go to Proverbs,
that's
Psalms.
Such like a main, that's such a main yeah. thread of like yeah. your humility leads to your ultimate good.
Right.
Like, and Christ's humility right. leads to our ultimate good. And so
yeah. whoever seeks his life
yeah.
will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Yep.
And so just that, like, it is like, I love the way that like, the, you know, Pharisees and like, I think it's maybe with the Sanhedrin, but they're like, they're saying that like the apostles are like, and Jesus are like flipping the world upside down, mm-hmm. but it's actually, they're turning the world right side up because the world has been flipped upside down by sin. And so there's this beautiful like reorientation of like, hey, what's actually, if you seek your own good and you try to find your life here, like you'll have it and you'll lose what you're actually made for, yeah. which is eternal life with God. But if you give up, if you don't like pursue and chase the things of this world, but you set your mind on things above, like you will have true life and satisfaction and joy eternally yeah. forevermore.
That's good.
Wow, that's sweet. I love that. That's great. I think really even just like sitting in that text in Philippians 2, thinking about like, okay, truly what is this act of humility? How does it apply to us? Like, why is it for our benefit and exaltation? It's good to have that like, okay, kind of big picture framework where like, what are the, where are we oriented in? It's kind of the navigational setting we're set on. And it's like, all right, but how do we get there? So like, what does practical humility look like in our lives?
Yeah. I think, so we didn't want to, I purposely didn't want us to get there right, yesterday yeah. because yep. I just wanted us to sit in the humility that Christ shows us
yeah.
and the benefit of Christ's humility for us. Yep. So I wanted us to sit in that, but that does lead to the question of like, okay, great. Now, how do I be humble? Like, I see it as a good thing. How do I be humble? I think Paul tells how Jesus was humble mm-hmm. in verse 8 yep. and of Philippians 2. And he said,
read that?
Yeah. And being found in human form, he being Jesus, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Mm-hmm. Like, Paul defines Christ's humility as obedience to God.
Yeah.
Quite simply, that's what practical humility right. is. It's like, are you being humble? Are you obeying God? Like, yeah. are you living in obedience to him? Or are you seeking your own good? Or are yeah. you just focused on yourself and what you want? Mm-hmm. And so I think just practically, it's like, are you being obedient? Are you confessing sin when you need to confess sin? Are you repenting, turning away from it? Are you walking in the statutes that he has? Your humility is grounded in your obedience mm-hmm. because ultimately our obedience stems from being preoccupied with God's glory. You're right. not going to obey God if you don't care about his glory.
Right.
And so once you're preoccupied with his glory, once you care about him, then that leads to obedience to him.
Yeah.
And so ultimately that's what I think humility is wrapped up in really practically is walking in obedience to God. So know your Bible, like know what God commands, know what he tells us to do, know how we are supposed to think, know how we are supposed to treat others. Don't neglect his word yep. so that you don't neglect his commands.
Yeah.
And that way you'll walk in obedience, which is what humility is. Yeah, so I think absolutely. Paul just really basically lays out, what is humility? He humbled himself by becoming obedient. It's like, become obedient. There it is.
yeah. Which I mean is also true. It's like the you kind of follow the process of like the Christian walk through. And it's like, okay, I'm saved. Now what? It's like grow in your knowledge of the Lord. Because when you know the Lord more intimately, more deeply, you grow in your trust. You know him. You want to obey him. You like know, you love, you obey, and you live for his glory. And then that's kind of like, that's the Christian walk, kind of summed up into four words. Pretty simple, but it's like, we imperfectly stumble forward in grace. Mm-hmm. And so like a good question might just be like, even praying, God, what are you calling me to obey you in right now?
Yeah.
Like what, or God, expose to me ways that I'm being disobedient.
Yeah.
Like convict me of that. Like and those two things I feel like will guide are like kind of the gutters on the bowling lane of the Christian walk,
sure.
right? Where if we continue to ask that, not just like, God, how can I obey you so I can earn your love? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But like, God, like I want to obey you, help me obey you. God, I'm probably disobeying you somewhere. Like show that to me.
Yeah.
Like how do I seek
think,
you more?
I think this? That question of God, where am I thinking of myself more than you? Mm. I think that is just an important question to ask often. I mean, even in preparing a sermon on humility, there's the temptation to be like, I hope this is good. Not for other people's good and God's glory, but just for my own glory. Like, that's a temptation that I fought. I'm like, I don't want this to be about me. And so it takes a lot of prayer and it takes a lot of heart work to get to the spot where you're like, God, I don't want this to be about me. Like, I confess that I've tried to make it about me. Yeah. I want it to be about your glory and the good of your people. And so I think asking that question to yourself often of, God, am I making something, even a good thing, more about me than about you? Mm. And when the answer is yes to that, which it will be at times, God, I confess that. I repent of it. May you be glorified and may you be made much of. And so I think that process is just a really helpful process of sitting down and thinking through, why am I wanting to do this? Is my motive for me? Is my motive for my own glory? Is my motive for my own name? Or is my motive for God's glory? Is my motive for the good of others? And when it doesn't go there, then it's like, okay, it's time to confess. Time to repent and ask God to reorganize your mind to be more focused on Him. So
that's sweet. Yeah. I love that. You kind of had like 2 points that you walked through to kind of like set up your big idea, right? Like you said, initially, humility is the giving of self for the good of others. Mm-hmm. And then you said humility is the preoccupation with God's glory and the good of others. And then really like the main point from this text that we need to walk away with is the humility of Christ leads to the worship of Christ.
Yeah.
Like, and so that reality, it's not just like, look at the example of Christ's humility and be more humble.
Yeah.
But it's like, be preoccupied with God's glory.
When you see his humility, it leads to your worship of him. You're like, wait, God himself would be born in the likeness of man? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was initially wanting to go into a little more detail about how ridiculous that is by going into more detail about just like birth in general, in that like, maybe, it's kind of gross, right?
Yeah. Maybe good discernment there.
Yeah, well, that was my wife. She was reading the sermon to me on Saturday night, and she's like, Ian, you can't say that. I said, why? It's true. She's like, Ian, you maybe can't just it's say true, that.
It's not helpful.
I was like, fine, I'll change it. But it's like the king of the universe.
Yeah.
All that birth entails is gross. It's like, it's hard to imagine that the God of the universe would be born into the earth in that exact same way.
Can you, like, not just being born, but like the baby Jesus grew inside of Mary.
I know. That's crazy. That's like, I wanted to go into more detail because I thought like it just paints this awesome picture of the humility of God, that he would start in the womb the exact same way we would, that he would grow in the womb the exact same way we would, that he would be born from Mary the exact same way we would, attached to Mary with an umbilical cord the exact same way we would, like completely needy and dependent, yet the God of the universe at the same time.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's humbling. And so, I don't know. I wanted to go into more detail. Morgan said, maybe don't.
Yeah.
Maybe don't use words like birth is gross from stage.
Good discernment. It's a, it is a
so miraculous. This is a good platform for that though.
Well, birth in and of itself, that process can be pretty intense and unlike anything else.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Also beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I clarified it. Like I was like,
I knew you
did. It's the outcome of it's beautiful. It's awesome. Yeah. But I don't know, man, the fact that God would be born into earth the exact same way is just insane to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Take that for what it is.
Yeah, it's wild. I love that. Yeah, I mean, kicking off, I love that you went to John 1:14. That was actually, I was at the kids' school on Friday at their chapel, and that was my verse text. I kind of walked through just like the beauty of the incarnation, like why that's such a big deal for us. And it's just so sweet to be able to like have this time and walk through. And super blessed by your preaching yesterday. Super thankful to worship Jesus alongside you. Anything else?
Yeah, I think the whole conversation about birth was kind of a side tangent leading to, it's like the humility of Christ leads to the worship of Christ.
Yeah.
And I think even, I don't know if I had been taught this before and just forgotten it, or if I just kind of realized it for the first time, but that Philippians 2, that chunk of scripture is a hymn. Like, it is an early Christian hymn. And like, that's just awesome that even the humility of Christ isn't just meant to be read, it's meant to be sung. Like, yeah. It doesn't just lead to our worship. Like, it's written in scripture as worship.
Yeah.
And I just think that that was a really sweet tie-in. So
that's cool. I love that, man. That's great. Well, yeah, Ian, yesterday, super thankful for that time that we had to worship together, and thankful for your faithfulness to the text and preaching. And church, would we remember that the humility of Christ leads to the worship of Christ? Ian, thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Church, join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.